Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
You know, the Bible says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. How many of y'all can testify and say, Pastor, I've sought the Lord in my life. He heard my prayer and he answered my prayer. I'm going to tell you something. We've got a world around us that is seeking for answers. The only problem is they're seeking in all the wrong places. Because there is only one that can satisfy my needs. There is only one that can satisfy my deepest longing and my deepest desires. There is only one that I feel like I am whole in his presence, and that is my King. That is my Lord. That is my Savior. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will remain. I'm going to tell you, there's people in this world. Even me, I'm a human. I may let you down. I may disappoint you. Your friend, your family may disappoint you. But I'm going to tell you, there is one that will never disappoint you. The Bible says that he sticks closer than a brother. That he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. In other words, my God will never fail. My God only knows how to win. My God is the champion of all champions. He is the victor. He is the victor. And because he is the victor, I am victorious in him. Come on, amen. Give me one more hand clap of praise. God, I love you. And I praise you for who you are today. I thank you, God, for your presence in this place today. And I just pray, God, that as we move forward into this service, God, I just ask, Lord, that your presence would still captivate our hearts, captivate our minds, Lord. God, I praise you, Lord Jesus, God, that when we seek you, Father, that you said you will be found, Lord, that we can find you, and that you are not a God that is just a distant God far from us, but you, God, you draw near to us. And I thank you for that. And I praise you, God, for what you're doing in this service right now. And I praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want you to give him one more hand clap of praise as you're being seated today. Man, God is so good, is he not? There is no one better. There is no one higher. There is no one greater than our God. When when I got to this place this morning, when I come to God's house, I just felt his presence in here. God is moving in a mighty way. God is moving in our people. God is moving in our church. God is moving in our community. God is moving in our city. There is a last day revival being poured out on the face of the earth right now. And I don't know about you, but I long to be a part of it. Amen. I want to be a part of what God is up to in these last days. How many of y'all want to be a part of what God's up to in these last days? I've got an introduction, a little series of questions for you this morning, if you will. Rhetorical questions. You can answer these to yourself. What if I told you that we could reach 4 times the people for the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ? And all of it would just take one decision on your part. One decision, and we could reach 4 times the people that we are reaching currently in our church. All for the kingdom of God. That could theoretically lead to 4 times the salvations, 4 times the disciples of Christ, 4 times the impact our church makes in our community, all with just one decision. One decision. What would your response be? Think about it. I hope that this is a no-brainer. When a pastor gets up here and tells you we could reach 4 times the people, we could theoretically have 4 times the salvations, really your response should be, sign me up. Sign me up. What if I said that that one decision is for you to commit to serving? Yes. Commit to serving. Studies have shown that for every one person who serves in the local body of Christ, four people will attend. For every one person that serves on a Sunday morning church service, four people will come. In essence, what that means is that every time one person commits to serving, we reach four more for God's kingdom. We have the potential to preach the gospel to four more people every time one person makes a decision to serve. Every time one person goes through next steps, every time one person gets connected to a team, we have the potential to reach four more people. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good math. I don't know if you think that, but I think that that's a pretty good deal. I want to see what the Word of God has to say about this today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 10 as our main text today. Many of you already are. If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. This is something that we do at Forward Church, just to honor the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. If you got it, say, "I got it." It's up on the screen, and it says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith." How many of y'all have been saved by grace through faith? Come on, somebody. "And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works." So in other words, your works does not save you. "Lest anyone should boast," because if we could earn our salvation through our works, we would be saying, "Look at us, look what we've done." But we do not deserve the glory, do we? God deserves all the glory. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." But verse 10 shows us something. "For we are his workmanship." Look at somebody and say, God made you. You are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Meaning that if you know Jesus as your Lord, if you've been reborn, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, God created you in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared, which God prepared beforehand. And you should, not might, it's not an option, it's not if you feel like it, it's not if you're, if, oh Lord, I'm about to get my preach on this morning, it's not when it's convenient, not if you have time, but you should walk in them. Today I'm going to bring you a message titled, "Made for More." Made for more. Will you pray with me? God, I come before you one more time and I pray your anointing upon this word today. Anoint my lips, God, that I may say the things you want me to say. Anoint the ears of the congregation, God, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers. And I pray, Lord Jesus, let this word that's been the seed of the word that's being scattered this morning, let it fall on fertile soil. God, that it would produce everlasting spiritual fruit in the lives of the ones who hear it. And God, I pray this prayer every single Sunday, God, is my heart as a pastor, as shepherd of this flock. I pray, God, not a single one of us would leave this place the same way we walked in. And I'll be quick to give you all the praise. I'll give you all the glory and I'll give you all the honor for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. And everybody said, high five two or three people and tell them you better get ready. To quote the great theologian Switchfoot, we were meant to live for so much more. Half of you know what I'm talking about, half of you don't. But that's okay, because I got your attention now. Praise God. Addressing his followers, Jesus stated this in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." How many of y'all say, praise God, I'm a Christian? Some of y'all knew that might be a trick question there. You see, we are never more like Christ than when we are serving. As a matter of fact, Jesus preceded that verse by saying this in verse 44, whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave to all. Now, that doesn't sound like greatness to the world, does it? That doesn't sound like greatness to me. Whoever wants to be first shall be slave to all. You see, greatness is not about being served, but it's about serving others. See, the world's version of greatness and the kingdom, God's version of greatness, is in opposite conflict with one another. Greatness in the world is measured by how many people are serving you. Greatness in the kingdom is measured by how many people you are serving. Do you see the conflict right here that we're dealing with? And a lot of times the mentality of the world is being brought into the culture of the church. But what we have to do as believers in Christ Jesus is understand something. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And the Bible says that we should walk in them. See, a true believer of Jesus desires to serve and see the master exalted without really thinking about self or self-recognition or receiving credit. As a matter of fact, we are a part of the kingdom of God, right? We are a part of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says we're just sojourners. We're just passing through this land. I have a physical address here in Irvington, Alabama, but how many of y'all know I have a heavenly address? You may have a physical address here on this earth, but if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got an address on a street of gold somewhere in heaven in eternity, and your citizenship is not of this world. Your citizenship is actually in heaven. But the role of citizens and the role of kingdom-minded people should be one purpose, and that is to exalt the king, to further the mission of the kingdom. But I'm looking around our world today, and I'm longing to see a church, Lord help me, I'm longing to see a group of believers that their top priority is furthering the mission of the king. I'm longing to see a group of people, a remnant of worshipers that rise up in spirit and in truth with no other agenda, no other purpose, no other self-deceived. Remove the mask, remove all the smoke screen and mirrors. I'm here to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm here to further his kingdom. I'm here to see the lost saved. I'm here to see the bound set free. I'm here to see the lame walk. I'm here to see the dumb talk. I'm here to see the blinded eyes open. I'm here to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Lord, help me this morning. Henry Blackaby wrote this about serving. He says it much better than I could, so here's the excerpt. The measure of greatness in the kingdom of God differs vastly from that of the world. Our society idolizes the rich, the powerful, the beautiful, and the athletic. We even make celebrities out of those who brazenly flaunt their immorality. The world claims it is demeaning to serve others. However, God's kingdom completely rejects the world's measure for esteem, giving the greatest honor to the one who serves the most. The person who serves selflessly, lovingly, without complaint, and without seeking recognition is highly regarded in the kingdom of God. You say, Pastor, give me scripture for this. Jesus taught about kingdom greatness in Luke chapter 22, verse 27. He says, for who is greater, who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus taught servanthood. Jesus, this was part of his teaching. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying for us to call ourselves Christians. Being a Christian is a lot like playing tennis. You got to be good at serving. And in other words, it might, Lord help me, I'm going somewhere today. See, Jesus modeled what he taught. How many of y'all know if Jesus taught it, he modeled it? Jesus wouldn't like people today. Come on, somebody. He practiced what he preached. See, Jesus modeled what he taught. And we find this story in John 13, 1 through 15, and I didn't show you all of this, but write this down, but I want to talk to you about this story right here. When Jesus and his disciples entered the upper room, they came to a dinner, they came to feast, they came to eat, and the disciples looked for a prominent place to sit. When Jesus and the disciples entered the upper room, the disciples looked for a place to what? Sit. Meaning they entered this room, leave that up there. They entered this room and they began to say, where's my seat? Some went as far as to say, Lord, let me sit on your... See, they were looking for a position. They were still, after serving with Jesus and after following Jesus, even when they entered this room, they played the disciple card. They played the position card. But what did Jesus do? While the disciples were looking for a place to sit, Jesus looked for a place to serve. And while everyone else was fighting over a place to sit down, Jesus said, let me give up my seat. Let me put on the servant's towel and let me stoop down and wash your feet. Do you see the contrast right here? And as they awkwardly waited to be served, Jesus took a towel basin and washed their feet. That's why we preach, sit one, serve one. Many of y'all are looking at me like deer in headlights right now. Your team leader should be preaching to you, sit one, serve one. Wait, let me rephrase that. Let me back up a little bit. We have a team model here. Maybe I need to start there. And when you go through next steps, the last part of next step is actually connecting you with a team leader. And then your team leader will schedule you to serve one Sunday and sit a Sunday in the worship service, or because we have two services, you'll sit a service and serve a service. How awesome of a concept, right? Now couple that with, for every one person we have serving, we can reach how many more people?
Four.
What's the hesitation then? What's the excuse? Don't say it out loud. It's a trick question. There is no excuse. There are no excuses. And so we preach sit one, serve one, because we believe that you are most like Christ when you are serving other people, not when you are being served. Now, does everyone need to be fed every once in a while? Yes. I think it's unrealistic for me to ask everyone, 100% of people, to be serving every single Sunday. Otherwise, I wouldn't have anybody to preach to in here, right? I've got to have somebody to preach to. I've got to have somebody to holler at. I've got to have somebody to spit on in the front row and all that. I try to swallow every chance I get. But here's the thing. Sit one, serve one, I don't think is an unrealistic ask for our people. And so in order for us to do that, we've got to have a couple of characteristics in this body. When I'm talking about this, I'm talking about our congregation, our church. Listen, because I don't answer, as many great churches as we have in this community, I don't answer for the church down the street. When I stand before the throne room of heaven, you know what? I'm gonna give an account to everything that is said behind this pulpit to this flock. And so that's what I'm doing this morning. So here's the characteristic that we need to have. We need to have an unbreakable bond in this church. We need to have an unbreakable bond. What does that mean? That means when one person decides not to serve, when one person decides not to be a part of the vision, because the together part of the vision is the serving part of it. When one person decides not to serve, you're actually saying that I'm not really. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm not wording that good. I'm not wording it at all. I'm just showing you. Pastor, I'm good. No, if we really want an unbreakable bond, because let me tell you what happens. I'm shepherd, right? shepherd of this flock. Now, if every once in a while you've got to come in and you've got to be shepherd. I love evangelistic sermons. Guess what? This is not an evangelistic sermon. This is a pastoral message, okay? The role of a pastor and the role of an evangelist are two separate roles. I'll get an evangelist in here every once in a while, and y'all can shout and stand on your heads and hands, and we can run the aisles, but this is a pastoral message. You know what happens when one decides not to serve? It puts more weight and more pressure on the other one who does serve, which in return creates burnout, which in return makes us almost have to go back on our promise, sit one, serve one, and then the ones who are committing to serving, they're like, serve one, serve one, serve one, serve one, serve one, serve one. Wait, I thought you said I could sit. Well, this other person, here's the thing. There's strength in numbers. Meaning if we would have more people serving, you might not even have to sit one, serve one. You might sit, serve. And the weight would be lighter. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says, two are better than, well, that's good math right there. It's common sense, right? The Bible is really a common sense book. And common sense is really not so common these days, is it? Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. See, if we want to have an unbreakable bond, it takes everybody buying in together to the vision. The vision is not just some kind of catchy saying. The vision is not something that we just like to put on a banner or put on our website or put on a t-shirt. The vision that God has given us here is a heavenly vision. It includes everybody. And when everybody buys into the vision, we can make a difference in the community and in the lives of the people around us. Give him praise. There's power in numbers. And we're in this together. We are better together and we are stronger together. And when one person decides, no, the serving part of the vision is not for me, it makes for a weak spot in the organization. I want you to understand something. The enemy hates unity. He wants to keep us from what we are made for. The enemy's job is to keep you from what you are made for. You were made for more than what your job, your work, your everyday, mundane, run-of-the-mill, punch-in, punch-out the clock. You are made for so much more than that. But that's why I love the model that we have here, small groups, teams. You know, small groups and teams are, in essence, spiritual warfare. Because when the enemy is trying to do everything to separate us, we are doing everything in our power to bring unity. You never thought about it like that, did you? And if the enemy can convince you to not be a part of small groups, and if the enemy can convince you to not be a part of a team and not serving, that's a small battle that the enemy is winning in your life. Wow. So in essence, serving and being on a team and being in small groups is really engaging in spiritual warfare. Because there's power in what? Numbers. A three-braided cord is not easily broken. Michael Jordan said that, not our Michael Jordan, not Jenny's husband, but Sir Aranus said this. He said, talent wins games. Teamwork wins championships. Every single Sunday, I sent out a text to our all staff Thursday. We call Easter the Super Bowl of Sundays. Easter's coming up, whether you know it or not. It's the last Sunday of this month. But I'm here to open our eyes to something this morning. Every single Sunday is the Super Bowl of Sundays. You know why? Because odds are there's at least one person under the sound of my voice right now, whether in person or on live stream. I'm going to try this God thing out. I'm going to try this Jesus thing out one time. I'm going to give it one shot today. And God, if I don't experience you, God, if I don't feel you, God, if they're wanting any excuse to not darken the doors of the church house. A lot of times we've got one shot as the church, as the kingdom. We've got one shot to reach that person for the kingdom of God. And you may be sitting, that may be you under the sound of my voice right now. I pray to God that somebody, something that was said or done in this church house today, whether it be from the time you pulled on the parking lot, I hope and pray that our parking lot team was not just fellowshipping among themselves, but actually engaging those first. I pray to God that our front door greeters greeted you with a handshake and a smile. I pray to God that our hospital, I pray to God that our ushers, I pray to God that our worship team ushered, I pray to God that something that somebody, one of our teams, said or done here showed you and modeled the love of Jesus Christ, because we are the kingdom of God. We are not of this world, and I'm here to show people Jesus. I could care less if you know my name. I could care less if you see me or know me by the end of the day, but I want you to know the name of Jesus Christ, because there's only one name in heaven on earth by which we are saved, and that's Jesus. And everything we do here is to reflect his glory. Bottom line is this. Sometimes we Christians are tempted to adopt the world's evaluation of importance. But when we look to Jesus as our model, we see that it takes a far more noble character to serve than to be served. You want to talk about a noble character? You want to show me a person with a noble character? I'll show you a servant. The world will estimate your importance by the number of people serving you. God is more concerned with the number of people you are serving. Here's a transition for you today. If you struggle to be a servant, here it is. If you struggle to be a servant, your heart may have shifted away from the heart of God. Because really, my goal today is not to guilt trip you into serving. If you make a commitment to serving today out of guilt, we will lose you in 2 months. We will. You may still attend here, but you won't be serving. If you make a decision out of guilt. My goal today and my desire today is to get you to search your heart. David said, "Search me, O God. Yes. Know me. God, show me in my heart. If I'm not serving, if I'm not a part of the vision that you have given this church, if I'm not serving others, if I'm sitting rather than serving, if I'm sitting more than serving more, it may be a sign that my heart is out of alignment with God. God, help my heart shift and align to you. And when that happens, I guarantee you, you'll feel the tug to serve. What can I do about this, Pastor? Here's a few things. Application for the day. Are y'all ready? We're fixing to land this plane here in just a few minutes. What can I do? Number one, ask Jesus to teach you selflessness and to give you the strength to follow his example. Because the issue I've always seen is one of two things. It's a pride issue or it's a strength issue. It is. Sometimes it's a pride issue. Saying, well, you want to know how to identify pride statements? They start a lot of times with I don't belong, I don't fit, I don't. That's a pride issue. Because the truth is, you do belong. You do fit. You are a part of God's purpose. You are a part of God's plan. And the enemy wants to put more focus on you and show you all the negatives of why you shouldn't be a part of God's plan and purpose. And so sometimes it's a self issue. Sometimes it's a strength issue. I'm tired. I'm worn. And I'm not minimizing this problem. Guess what? We've got more going on today than what we probably should have going on today. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've got more going on today than what I should have going on today. You want to know what my thoughts are about that? You can take this with a grain of salt, and I'm not here to condemn you, but maybe it's a prioritization. Maybe it's a priority thing that we need to be looking at today. Because for everything you say yes to, you're saying no to something else. Right? For everything you commit to, that means that's something else that you can't commit to. And when we look at the kingdom principles and when we look at kingdom values, I just want to be honest with you, serving is at the top of the list. Serving others, every time I see Jesus ministering, every time I see Jesus on the scene in scriptures, he's always doing something for others. He's teaching, he's ministering, he's healing, he's setting people free. He's pulling in the little children and bringing them. Oh, there it is. Y'all need some servers in kids ministry, don't you, Sarah? Yes. Praise God. Don't forsake the little ones. Don't forsake those little ones coming. You, Pastor, I got to deal with my own little ones all week long. We've got 3 or 4 people that have to deal with your little ones. We know what it's like. Come on, lighten up in the house. I pray for them because I know what. Never mind, I got one sitting in here. I can't talk about them this morning. I know what it's like. But you're never more like Jesus when you're ministering, when you're serving. Ask Jesus to teach you selfishness and to give you the strength to follow his example. Number two, watch for Jesus' invitation to join him in serving others because it will come. You know, in Jesus' parable of the talents, the Lord tells of 2 faithful servants who used what they had been given to increase the master's wealth. And when the master returned from a long absence, he rewarded his 2 faithful servants and said to each of them, and we find this in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23. He said, "Well done, good and faithful." I just want to pause right there. I can read the rest of it. But do you know what we're longing to hear one of these days in heaven? Well done, my good and faithful ruler. Well done, my good and faithful preacher. Well done, my good and faithful. No, what we're longing to hear one of these days in heaven is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Servant. Every Christian longs to hear these words. And to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," from Jesus, first and foremost, listen to me. First and foremost, you've got to know him as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to hear those words, you've got to know him. You've got to have a personal relationship with him. The unbelieving will never hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I made a Facebook post this week. I believe one of the greatest crises that we're facing in the world today is that we have too many unbelieving believers. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I saw all the comments, and I love to hear all of your take on it. And it was so great, but here was my heart, if you want to know my heart behind that statement. We have so many people saying that they believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm asking you, what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? It means to follow him. It means to answer the call. It means to serve. It means to love God and love people. That's what it means to be a believer. And I believe that what's happening today is the world is looking and they're witnessing too many unbelieving believers. And what they're saying is, "Well, if that's what it means to believe, then I'm not far off." Because what's happening is there's not that much. Lord, help me. Do I have to say this? Oh, Lord, help me. There's not that big of a difference between believers and unbelievers. And I'm saying that, help me, I'm saying that with all love, because we look like something, we sound like, I'm not talking about the way you, I'm not talking about a clothesline sermon this morning. I'm talking about you're promoting something. You're either promoting the kingdom or you're promoting self. You're either promoting the king or you're promoting self. You're either promoting the enemy and the world and his ways, or you're promoting Jesus Christ and his ways. And when the world looks at Forward Church, I want them to see a church that looks like the king, that talks like the king, that walks like the king, because we are made in his image. Come on, somebody. You want to know why your works matter? Because you're made in his image. And when the world looks at you, they should see an image of Christ. And recognize this. Recognize that Jesus is not only your Savior, he's also your Lord. Luke 6:46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord? Woo! Somebody pick up your toes real quick. Pick them up. God, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I... That hurts me to read. Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we depart from me? Because I never knew you. Wow. And I'm not trying to shame you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm trying to get us to a place to where we could actually do some self-reflection and say, God, search me and show me. Reveal to me my heart. Is my heart more concerned about me, or is my heart more concerned about others? Closing with this, last but not least. Make a difference in the lives of others. We're talking about the application here. I told you to ask Jesus to teach you selfishness, to give you strength. Watch for his invitation. And when that invitation comes, make a difference. Here's the thing. We are to be spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. Just because the piano's playing don't mean you can tune me out. Come on, somebody. We are to be spiritual contributors, not just spiritual consumers. Me and my wife have talked for a few years now about how we are witnessing a consumer Christianity culture infiltrate the church. Consumer. Meaning, everybody comes and looks to say, what's in it? Oh, Lord, help me. And listen, if you are a guest here today, I hope that you see that. I hope that you can see how this is a church that ministers to your kids. I hope that you can see how this is a church that ministers to you and your needs and meets you right where you're at, because that's what Jesus would do. But what I'm preaching to the flock today. Preaching to the flock today, preaching to those who know Jesus, that are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Because God has called you, and God, you are made for more than filling a chair on Sunday morning. You are made for more than just your everyday mundane going through the... You are made for more, and the enemy wants to wear you out, and the enemy wants to discourage you and give you all the reasons why you shouldn't. And I'm here to combat that. See, we are the church, and we exist for the world. We are the church, and the church exists for the world. Not for ourselves. I've always said this, and sometimes you got to keep this before the people, because when you don't say it for a while, we lose sight, because the default is to shift to a self-centeredness. That's just human. The default, meaning if the vision is not constantly put out there, there's a default that we will automatically shift toward. But I'm here to combat against that default. Here's what I'm talking about. We do not exist for just the people who are currently inside these four walls. We exist for the people who are outside these four walls. That's why we exist. We exist for that person that's under the sound of my voice this morning that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We exist for that marriage that is on the rocks this morning, that is on the brink of divorce. We exist for that drug addict this morning that needs to be set free by the... We exist for that prostitute on the street that's coming in. We exist to see the bound set free. We exist because there is a lost and dying world out there. And Jesus said this, well people do not need a doctor. Sick people do. Oh Lord, help me. I've got to land this plane. We have an unmistakable mission around here. And here's the deal. Luke 10 verse 2 says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Pastor, why do you bring this up? What's the mission? I love Jesus' perspective in this scripture. He doesn't see people as problems or nuisances. Do you notice that? Look at Jesus' perspective right here. He doesn't look at people and say, and have this shake his head mentality. He doesn't look at them and he doesn't look in them and have the mentality, well, I guess I gotta go serve in kids' church this morning. I don't think Jesus would sit there and say, well, I guess I gotta go keep the nursery. He don't see it as a problem. He sees it as an opportunity because he looks at those people and he says, that's the harvest. That's why I came. That's why we exist. That's our mission. Our mission is not a task. It's people. It's always been people. Because every single person represents a soul for the kingdom. In these last days, it's not enough for the pastors of our city, just the pastors of the churches in our city, to have the vision. It's not enough for just the church staff and personnel to have this type of outlook or this type of view for people. It's not enough. We all need this type of perspective. That when we come into God's, especially on Sunday, we don't look at people through the world's way of looking at people. We see people as Jesus sees people. We see them as an opportunity to reach a soul. We see them as an opportunity to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We see them as an opportunity to practice what God has given us, to practice what we preach. I got that going this morning, don't I? Praise God. I need to maybe put that in my pocket. So here's the deal, church. The vision's always been moving forward together, but we do that by what? Loving God and loving people. Without the mission of loving God and loving people, the vision is not accomplished. The vision does not just automatically happen. It doesn't, despite popular belief. Pastor Brandon will tell you, our staff will tell you, those who work hours behind the scenes to prepare for this day, to schedule people, to send out invites, to train, to organize, all of these efforts. What am I saying? I'm saying this, it's not time to take a step back. It's not time for us to say, make an excuse. It's not time, it's time to keep moving forward. It's almost Easter. We've got Serve Day coming up. We've got Good Friday service coming up. We've got 3 Sunday morning Easter services coming up. We've got an opportunity this month. We had over 1,200 people on our campus on Sunday morning last year for Easter. We average about 550 every Sunday morning. We have the opportunity to reach over double as many people on Easter Sunday as we do on any other Sunday. I'm telling you, now is the time. Now is not the time to back up. Now's not the time to find in it. Now is the time to move forward. Now is the time to make a commitment. Now is the time to say, God, light a fire in me. Now is the time to say, God, here I am. Use me, God. Have your way in my life. God, let me know you and let me make you known. Now's the time to get that passion. Everybody stand. The scripture, our main text today. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Mark Twain said this. We close with this quote in one more scripture, real short. Mark Twain said this, the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why. You were created to bring glory to God and to point everybody that you come into contact with, point them to Jesus. So I challenge you to do Psalms 100 verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know why? Because it's a privilege. It's an honor. It's not a task. It's not weighty. It's really not, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a privilege. It's an honor. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic. I can't believe God, you chose me. You chose me to carry on your mission. You chose me. God, this is awesome. You know what? He chose you. He's chosen you. He's calling you by name today. Never head bowed, ever.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.